Thanks, Ralph. Thank you very much. Very, very sweet. It's been a wonderful day, and I'm thankful for all you that taught. It was a wonderful teaching, Aldo, and Richie and Bart. You guys did a great job. I want to take you again, and you know, how wonderful is it that you can take a simple set of scriptures, you know, and teach it so many different ways, see so many different things in it. It just shows you that if you read the Bible for years and years and years, you're never going to exhaust what's in there. You know, you'll never exhaust what's in there. You ask God to show you something, and He'll show you something. So in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." Trust in the Lord with all your heart is a command. It's not a suggestion. You know, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, as I believe Richie said and Aldo said and Bart said. I mean, it's not hard to step on each other here in this teaching. And being the last, you get to listen to everybody take your stuff. But it's a book of wisdom, and it's a collection of short phrases and thoughts that really give God's wisdom. And if you do what it says, you will be blessed. You know, you will be wise. It will go well. And if you don't, it's on you. Always is. God gives us that freedom of will. I think two things Richie said, right? Freedom of will is one of them. He won't violate it. He's given you everything. And He asks you to trust Him. And trust is something, trust and faith are really the same thing. But it's built over time. Trust is not something that, okay, today I trust God, that's it, I'm done. No. You learned a little bit of Bible, and then you practiced and you saw the blessings, and then you prayed and you saw the answer, and you learned and you trusted more, and then you trusted more and more and more and more and more, until really when the major things happen to you in life, incredibly major things, whether they be super negative or positive, you got the confidence and faith and trust in God to rely upon Him. You know, there's other times when you don't know much of anything at all, but you're going to trust God because you haven't got a choice. There's no other way out. So you dive into prayer and ask. And by His mercy and grace, He saves you or helps you. And then it's up to you to continue. It says in the scripture, God has no joy in the devastation of His people. He has no joy and no... It doesn't benefit Him at all for people to go the wrong way or to suffer. He wants all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Every single one. The people that you wouldn't have in your house. The people who you can't have a good thought about. God sent His Son to die for. And all they got to do is ask. Remember the guy next to Jesus? One of my favorite examples. I deserve what I'm getting. I deserve the death sentence. Leave him alone. He didn't do anything. And Jesus said to that guy, I'm telling you today, you're going to be with me in paradise, the land. All right? You know where the land is? The kingdom that's coming. Eternity. When our Lord reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back to the earth, and you and I are going to reign with him, and we are going to get the land. It's going to be home for 1,000 years. And then it's going to be even more greatly improved in paradise. It's still the land. That's why you walk with him. But anyhow, back to my thoughts here. This is a command. And you build your trust, as it has been said, by building the Word of God in your life. What Aldo and Richie, you know, said in their teachings is absolutely true. And there's two ways to build your trust and faith in God more as you look at the Word. First thing you got to look at is, who is this God that you love? What does the Word of God say about him? You focus in on that. The more you focus in on him, the less you see of yourself. And go to Isaiah chapter 46 in verse 9. It says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." This is going to happen. You know why? Because God wants it to happen. You know why David defeated Goliath? Wasn't because this scrawny kid did such a good job with a slingshot, or because he was arrogant enough to think that he was standing up for the gods of Israel, for the God Almighty, you know, all on his own. He was doing what God wanted him to do. He was inspired by God to do this outrageously difficult thing. Because if he would have thought it up on his own, if he would have relied on his own understanding, if this would have been one of his brilliant ideas, he might have been lunch that day. You know, Paul had a brilliant idea. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. Later on in the book of Acts, and he was told time and time again by the Spirit, by the people around him, don't go to Jerusalem. I'm going to go. I don't care if I die. Well, it is what it is. He went to jail, and he was limited. What could have been otherwise? I don't know, but it was definitely Paul's idea. Now, there is a plan B with God. The Lord showed up and told Paul, okay, so you're going to go to jail. He didn't say that. He says, okay, so you're going to go before kings and you're going to do the job from over there. But this is plan B. This was not plan A. God will never leave you or forsake you. That don't mean that you're always smart enough to pick the right thing to do. There'll always be a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. Come on, McCabe. Let's not go down that far down in the list. You follow me? I think I'm a little further down on the list than I wanted to be. But that's okay. You know what? I'm still doing what I can, and I'm not perfect, and I never have been, never will be. But I will pick myself up, and I will trust in the Lord with all of my heart. Period. And leaning unto your own understanding, the beautiful verses of Scripture, trust the Lord, his word. Let's do it that way. And what these men taught you today is absolutely true. But I want to take it from a different point of view. All right? I want to take it from a different point of view. But before we go there, go to Isaiah 40. If you want to build who God is in your life and in your heart, He is the one who knows the end before things even start. He is the one that's going to do it after His pleasure. He knows the end before things even get going. He also, in the 40th chapter, in verse 12, He is telling us all the time who He is and how to perceive Him. And like I said, the bigger you make Him and the bigger you understand, the more you read the Word about how big He is, the easier it is to trust Him. In verse 12, it says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand?" H-A-N-D. This is talking about the oceans. Your Father in heaven has measured all the oceans on the earth, all the waters, under the waters. And He did it in the hollow of His hand. That's not enough to wash my face. Everything on earth. You know, everybody is a hot shot in their life. I'm cool, I'm this, I'm that, I can handle anything, whatever. As long as they're sitting in their own little bathtub. You take that bathtub and you put it in the middle of the Pacific and sit in it, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to feel like a hot shot. Perspective, right? It's perspective. I'm cool. I got $20 in my pocket. Or perspective. The bigger you make God and the more you recognize His greatness, the more you will trust Him. I of my own self can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. You know, and I think Jesus was the best man ever. But that was His perspective. So He meets out the water, meet out the heavens with the span. He measures out, meted out the heavens with the span. I don't have a tape measure, but that's about 4.5 inches, 5 inches. My hands have gotten smaller over the years. The whole universe, science is all in a fluster these days because they put up a new telescope up there and it's not supposed to see the stuff that it's seeing. And it's blowing everything out of the water for them. So one thing about science, is just fantastic. It's great. It's the miracle of the ages until they learn something new. Then they got to throw everything out that they learned before. And they start from scratch again. And then they think up stuff so that they don't have to start from scratch. Just so they don't have to rewrite all the books. Anyhow, you know that I'm always interested in astronomy, right? So they put up this new telescope. It used to be the Hubble. The Hubble could see so far. Now they got the James Webb telescope up there. And it can see way past. And it can see clearer than anything else. And you know what was? They're supposed to be just little, according to their science, it's just supposed to be these little blurbs of beginnings of galaxies out there. And instead, what they found was fully developed, monstrous galaxies. At what they thought was the beginning. See, they think that they got the end, 14 billion whatever light years away, and that's supposed to be when everything started. But what they have is everything's fully developed. So everything that they've thought all these years is wrong. And they don't know why. Because that's what science is. You learn. You change. You learn. Remember they used to put leeches on people to get them better? We don't do that too much anymore, do we? I hope not. They learn. They learn that we were wrong. And we'll find out something different. God measured the whole universe out between his thumb and his little finger. He doesn't live in it. He created it. He created it. This is like a science experiment for a little kid in third grade. And you know what our little pinprick of a planet is? It's hardly even distinguishable in our own galaxy. Just this blue little pinprick. And yet, God knows every hair on your head. He knows your every thought. He wants to fellowship with you. This is a Father who is involved with you, who loves you. If you read the scriptures, you see this. Perspective. Keep your eyes on him, not on you, not on your problems, not on your stuff. Keep your eyes on him. You know, in Isaiah 57, you can read some more that's over there, but I'm going to move on. Isaiah 57. In verse 15, love this verse too. It says, "For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." The humble ones. You know, I know everything in my life and every blessing has come from the Father. And I know that he has been with me to help me through every difficulty. I still go through the difficulties. I still have the challenges. But that he is the one who inhabits eternity. He doesn't just have it now. You know, if you think about it, he inhabits all of it. That's why he knows the end before it starts. He inhabits it all. You know, if you think about, if you stand at a point and you look at a train, you can see the whole train going by. If you're far enough away. Well, God knows the beginning and he knows the end of the train. He can see the whole thing. He inhabits eternity. You and me, we have it this moment. I have this moment. Yesterday is no good for me. Tomorrow, I got no idea of. I don't know what's going to happen an hour from now. I got this moment. And what God says to us to do in wisdom is to praise him in the moment, to live in the moment, to love him in the moment. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got a problem? Deal with it in the moment. Otherwise, it'll drag you, it'll sink you. But he inhabits eternity, and he inhabits it with the people who are meek and contrite. And that's got to be my perspective. I am dealing with the Almighty God, and I'm not God. And I don't want to lean to my own understanding. Again, that in Jeremiah chapter 17, another beautiful verse. Why don't I want to lean to my own understanding? Yeah, I'll take it from the negative point of view. Why? Jeremiah 17 in verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. It is wicked. Who can know it? Man's heart is wicked. The heart, what goes through your head? Come on. You know, I've been preaching and doing my best to love God, love His people, teach the Bible, everything else. And, you know, when I hear about these evil things that happen, you know, these people that kill other people, kill children and stuff, I want to kill them. It's where I go. I don't act on it, but I sure get angry enough, and I want to do them. I want to take vengeance. And yet, the wisdom of God tells me, no, don't do it. That's it. It's the way it goes. What's in my heart is not always godly. I have to change, curb my thinking, put God's word on. I have to deliberately decide to think what it says, even though my heart wants to do all kinds of things. That's why you got to ask, you got to take everything that comes your way and you got to put it through the filter of Scripture. And then you got to make sure you understand it right. Because you'll get people who think, look at the same Scripture and think differently about it. That's just learning. So we don't want to trust always what's in our heart. The reason I don't want to rely on my own understanding is because, see, I was born with the defectiveness of having Adam's sin. It's a defect, Adam's sin. It is a disaster. So I was born selfish, self-seeking. Everything was about me. Just take a little baby. Everything is about the baby. It's cute, but it's selfish. You see what I mean? That's the nature. I don't know how to live without that nature. I have a new nature with the Spirit of God, and I have an old nature. And they both live together. And I have to choose by the renewing of my mind who wins in every situation around. So God says to me, don't live by your own understanding. Aldo and Richie and Bart, you believe what God says. Right? They've taught you. I want to bring something to your attention. Do you think that there was ever a guy, ever, that could lean to their own understanding? It's an interesting question. Let's take Adam and Eve. Before they sinned, they got no old man nature. They are the gods in this earth. They rule. They got dominion. They got everything. And you know what they did? When they had their opportunity, Eve looked, oh, that tree, not too bad. Let me consider this. Oh, it looks like it's good for food and this and that and the other thing. What was she doing? She was walking by her senses. Her own understanding. Here she is, perfect. Perfect. Her husband, too. Perfect. The both of them are in it together. I don't separate the two of them really with this. They're perfect. They got no deformity. and they couldn't get it right. So you want to tell me anybody could get it right? See, all they had to do was obey what God said. Don't eat of this tree. Because the day you eat of it, you're going to die. Or dying, you will die. And what did they do? They got tricked. They went according to their own understanding, and they ended up, them and us, in this terrible, evil place. So don't tell me there's anybody out there that's street smart, intellectually smart, got it all together. If you walk out on your own understanding, it's just a matter of time before you run down the rapids of the river in the wrong place that you don't want to be. It's just the way it is. There's no getting around it. My old man taught me a couple of things in life when I was growing up. He was laying out on the couch. These were the words of wisdom from my earthly father. He said, John, if you smoke, smoke Pall Mall. If you drink, drink scotch. All right? And always remember the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not get caught. This was my growing up advice. This was my conversation of becoming, going, being. I'll never forget the 11th commandment. It's amazing, isn't it? Now, that was the best my dad had to give. It's memorable. I'm still remembering it. It was like, yeah, I could see him there. But it wasn't good advice. God has given you this wisdom, this word, these truths. And even perfect people before sin, if they didn't follow this truth, if they didn't believe this command, they gave the earth a ride that we never wanted to be on. Sin, death, sickness, disease. It's all because of that sin. Hatred, all of it. We didn't really want that ride. So you got a choice every day of your life. You choose to do it God's way and what He says, or you don't. And whatever comes, comes. I can tell you, you will be blessed, and you won't have a perfect ride in life. There will be many challenges, many hurts, many sorrows, but God will never leave you or forsake you. He'll get you through every one of them. He will get you through every one of them because His point is He wants to fellowship with you. You don't lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways you acknowledge Him. That is that relationship. I want the presence of God in my life and every time I turn around and decide something. Father, what should I do here? Help me. I need to understand. Give me some wisdom, Lord. It says in James that He is liberal to give anyone who asks the wisdom that they need. He'll certainly give it to you. But you got to practice His presence. You know, we have that Spirit of God within us. It's not far away. You don't have to look for Him. You got God in Christ in you. You don't have to invite Him in the meeting. You don't have to raise your hand. Well, here I am. I don't care what you do, but just recognize and accept that you got God in Christ in you. You got everything you need as long as you are of a meek and quiet and contrite in your attitude towards Him. He is God and you're not. Adam and Eve, they had all the advantages, but they weren't God. And in all your ways, you acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Jesus lived this way. Go to John chapter 12. You know, I was in a meeting when I was very young in the Bible. Very brash, stupid, foolish Mary was there. I had a very nice lady who was running the meeting named Sunny. And she wanted to send us out to go witnessing. We were sort of like in a little teaching, and they were going to practice what we learned. And we were going to go out and hold forth the Bible. So Sonny says, well, you know, Jesus sent people out two by two, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to team up, and you're going to go out two by two and go out and witness. I said, nah, I can do this by myself. I don't need this. So I think there was an odd number of people in the room, and somebody had to go either with Sonny or by themselves. So I can do this. And, you know, I wasn't leading the meeting. I was just a student. And that's the other problem people have is that they're students, and then they all of a sudden they think they can run the church. So she just looked at me and said, well, John, do you know better than Jesus? He sent them out two by two. Do you think you know better than him? I mean, talk about knocking me off my high horse. You know, she didn't humble me. She decked me. So when it comes to walking by doing this, to relying upon him, to always not walking by your own understanding and acknowledging him, Jesus did it this way. He was the one that gives us the example of what we're talking about. In John chapter 12 and verse 44, it says, and Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sent me, seeth him that sent me. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believes not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words hath one that judges him. It's the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself. He gave me the commandments, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said, so I speak. Who gave Jesus the words to speak? The Father. What he taught, that's why he don't judge him. It's the words that the Father's given me that are going to judge you. He lived this way. Look at John 14, 9. Starting in verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been such long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how say then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He does the works. He's the one that does the work. You know, if by the Spirit of God, a believer prays for another believer and God says, minister to this person. You know, Acts chapter 3. Peter walking down, going towards the temple. He fastened his eyes on a guy who was there on the stretcher. Right? And he said, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Did Peter do anything? No. Peter didn't expend any power. The universe didn't bend to Peter. The laws of nature didn't bend to Peter. They were God's words that God told Peter to speak, and God does the work. All you got to do is be the ambassador. God saves. I don't. God delivers. I don't. Almighty God is the one who the laws of physics has to bow to. Not me. You don't have to work yourself up for a miracle. You know, you ever watch these guys on TV? The Holy Spirit's moving. Come on. Jesus just simply said to the devil spirit, be gone. I will, be thou healed. There's no show. It's not a game. He was the meekest man on the face of the earth. He listened to everything his father said. The guy came, Lord, I know you can heal me if you will. And in the back, God says, I will. That's it. The first lesson, I'm off the topic. The first lesson of the class on miracles. Moses. Stick. Moses, what do you got in your hand? Stick. Throw it on the ground. Boom. Turns into a snake. Moses runs away. Did Moses know it was going to turn into a snake? Did he work himself up? This is going to happen. No, he didn't know a clue. You know what God told him? Throw the stick on the ground. It's all he knows. Does Moses have the ability to do that? Yeah. You can throw a stick on the ground. Any moron can throw a stick on the ground. As long as you got hands. And God turned it into a snake. He's teaching him how to do these miracles that he's going to do. How do you split the Red Sea? It ain't like Charlton Heston. The Lord! No, he said, hold your stick up over the water. That's all you got to do. And the waters, there's no energy here. It's just obedience. It's obedience. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. If God gives the revelation, if you're willing to listen to him, and that's your privilege, to learn to listen, to learn to obey, to just do exactly what he says. That's the difference. That's the opposite of what Adam and Eve did. That's not walking by your own understanding. That's walking by his. And the Father wants you to do it. So do you believe? Verse 11. Believe me. I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me for what I've done here. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now that's blasphemy. But Jesus said it. It's not blasphemy. It's the truth, because he knows how this works. You don't. If you live like I'm living, if you obey like I am obeying, if you do the Father's will the way I've done the Father, then you'll do the works that I've done. Why? Because the words come from the Father and the works. And that's why many of the apostles could do signs, miracles, and wonders, because they understood it this way. That's why Philip, just a simple disciple, can change an entire city. It's not, don't walk by your own understanding. In all your ways, you acknowledge him. You're just living day by day with your Father, and he will make your path straight. He'll direct you. Where it's going to go, I don't have a clue. You don't either. Day by day, moment by moment. Move by move. There's nothing, there's no secret to this. There's no such thing as I'm super spiritual. No, you're either super meek and obedient or you're not. Every one of us has got the same Christ in us. You know, if every one of you had $100 in your pocket but you didn't know it was there, you wouldn't use it. There are lots of Christians that have the Spirit of God within them, but they're completely and foolishly ignorant of what it were, how it works, what it does, and they're easily misled because they're ignorant of Scripture. Let's trust the Lord with all of our heart. The reason I picked this was because it is a very simple subject, and it is so sorely needed to be understood and rethought about by you and by me. Let's keep it all simple and at the same time strive to do it in our life in a magnificent and wonderful way. So it's been a pleasure today, and I love you all very much. So we're going to sing and close out our day. Thank you.